T-Mobile cases to be referred to the European Court of Justice to clarify various issues with the payment processing exemption. It's another variant on the problem of charging for receiving payment in a particular way. The earlier cases of Debenhams and Bookit were about charging for receiving payment by credit card. The main supplier is selling something to a customer. Let's take Odeon selling a cinema ticket, and let's say that's a VAT-able supply worth £5. Odeon set up a subsidiary company, Bookit Limited, which collected the £5 from the customer and added a 50p surcharge for handling the payment by credit card. Bookit then passed on the £5 to Odeon as the customer's consideration for the ticket and kept the 50p for itself. The House of Lords agreed with the Court of Appeal and the company that the charge for handling the payment was exempt. After that, HMRC published their understanding of the decision, partly in an attempt to limit the damage, in Business Brief 18 of 2006. They reckoned that the critical point in Bookit was that the company collected the authorisation codes from the customers and transmitted them to the credit card companies. It did this positive thing that caused the movement of money to happen, and that was an exempt financial supply. In the T-Mobile case, things were rather different. The company preferred payment by credit card. It charged extra if people wanted to pay by cheque. The extra payment was described as a charge for payment handling, and the company wanted to enjoy the same exemption as Bookit. The tribunal effectively supported Business Brief 18 of 06. There was no separate supply of payment handling here, because processing a cheque is quite different from processing a credit card transaction. There might be inconvenience in dealing with the paper itself, but all it involves is handling paper. You collect the cheques together, put them in a neat stack, and pay them into a bank. There's no equivalent to the transmission of the authorisation codes to make the payment happen. In effect, this sort of arrangement is simply an increase in the price for the main supply. The customer is offered a choice. If you pay by credit card, you can have the service for £30, and if you want to be old-fashioned about it and send a cheque, it'll cost you £32. Both are prices for the main service, and both are taxable in full. If that sounds familiar, it is effectively the Debenhams scheme in reverse. There, the shop tried to argue that it offered alternative prices and alternative contracts, £98 for the main supply plus £2 handling charge for credit cards, or £100 for cash or cheque. The court reckoned in Debenhams that there wasn't really an alternative, the price remained the same, and in each case it was all for the main supply. The T-Mobile case shows that it is hard to achieve exemption for a handling charge, even if Bookit won. There are plenty of people who charge different amounts depending on the method of payment, for example giving a discount for direct debits as opposed to a surcharge for cheques, and they ought to look at this decision and make sure that they're dealing with them correctly. The questions now referred by the High Court are like a full exam paper for the ECJ. They consider several different alternative payment arrangements. That is very useful because at least we ought to get a comprehensive answer which enables us to deal with a range of slightly different situations in the future. For example, T-Mobile collect their payments through retailers and pay the retailers a fee for handling the cash. Is that exempt? We hope to find out. There's also been a case about a loan broker passing on leads to an associated company. The broker offered the service of finding people finance, which is clearly exempt. Suppose an applicant was able to tick all the right boxes, then the company would pass them on to a lender and a loan would result. The lender paid commission, which indisputably fell within Schedule 9, Group 5. But what about the people who couldn't satisfy the lender's criteria? They would often want a loan to sort out their existing indebtedness. The loan broker was associated with another company, which offered debt management services. So people who would be refused a loan were instead passed on to the associate, which would offer them services which are also exempt. Rather different from the services they originally hoped for, perhaps, but nevertheless covered by Schedule 9, Group 5. The associate paid the loan broker for the referrals. That's where the dispute arises. HMRC said that this was just an introduction service, akin to advertising or marketing. It was therefore taxable. The loan broker would have to charge VAT that the associate would not be able to recover. The tribunal disagreed. This was not just a marketing service, it was a true intermediary service. The difference between this and the earlier case of LeadX was that the loan broker was not interested in just generating leads that could be bought and sold in a marketplace. It was focused on providing financial services. Customers applied to it for one sort of financial service, and if they didn't qualify for that, they would be referred to the associate for a different one, and that was within Schedule 9. The borderlines of this exemption continue to cause significant problems, and I believe that LEADEX will be the subject of an appeal in due course. It doesn't seem to become more straightforward as time goes by.